Now, Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Straw Mayo yesterday, following the Patriots' win, feels like a loss, 23-16. I do love that. It's like, did you talk to ownership?
No.
Did you talk to the GM, front office, anybody?
No.
Nah, they don't talk to me. I'm fired anyways. They didn't give me any direction on this game, which, by the way, I don't believe. I don't believe that they didn't tell him what to do. You put in Joe Milton on the second drive on your own? You did that on your own? No one told you to do that?
You came up with that? You hadn't played the guy all year long? Hadn't played the guy all year? All of a sudden, he starts getting snaps of practice and he plays?
So that was an organizational discussion. I don't believe what he had to say.
But I don't blame Mayo for all the things to blame Mayo for. Winning the game isn't one of them. Again, he's right. Players and coaches on the field are going to try to win.
Fair.
That's what they're there for. They don't care about next year's team. They might not even be on next year's team. In Gerard Mayo's case, he is not. But Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft need to somehow make it known and make it like you need to lose the game. I was like, you can't do that. Look around the league. Look across the field. The Bills are like, we won't give you the number one pick.
It was a bad, bad day for the NFL.
Yeah, it was gross.
But specifically, Patriots and Bills was embarrassing.
But like the
Bills
Browns,
were passing on field goals to get their punter an incentive. They were playing their third string quarterback. They put in Josh Allen for a snap. Meanwhile, the Patriots didn't play Hunter Henry, Ramondre Stevenson. Maybe that one was for
the
best.
Probably fine.
Drake May played a series.
But like the Chiefs just laid down and died. And then, you know, there were other teams. The teams at the top of the draft, like the Titans and the Giants, they knew what they needed to do.
Giants screwed it up the week before, but yes.
They did, but this week.
Yes.
That's the other thing. I think when you're talking about multiple weeks, then you're really getting kind of silly. And that's sort of a pipe dream type of thing. But when it's one game, like, can you lose this game and we get the number one pick in the draft, which coming around in a couple of months from now will be the best commodity in football. The number one, people go crazy for the number one pick. You could have that if you lose this meaningful game. However, if you win, you get the fourth pick. Because everybody's making the Lovie Smith comparison and how they actually ended up falling ass backwards into C.J. Stroud over Bryce Young. But they went from 1 to 2, which at the time was definitely annoying and like comical from the outside. But 1 to 2, when there were two quarterbacks versus 1 to 4, and like what you could get for the fourth pick versus the first pick, this is much worse.
Patriots are lucky, by the way, they couldn't fall farther than 4.
Seriously, when you're looking at the graphic of all the bad teams, and like we already knew going into the weekend that they couldn't fall further than 4. But if you didn't know that, and you were just looking at the bottom of the standings, you're like, they could be 9th. Like, there's so many 4-win teams in the league. It's crazy.
So, the Jets, Carolina, New Orleans, Chicago, a bunch of those teams won yesterday. They all moved to 5 wins, but they all could have been 4-win teams.
Yeah, at the time, right.
So, right, the Patriots were lucky they couldn't fall farther than 4th.
Oh, and so that could have been 6th,
That
guess.
Comes down to a strength of schedule thing.
Yeah.
That's all that is.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, a reminder, Robert Kraft, who apparently Gerard Mayo did not talk to about their approach yesterday in their win, doesn't feel that way, over Buffalo. Robert Kraft is going to speak to the media live from Gillette Stadium today. You're going to hear it here on WEEI at 1 o'clock. Lock that in here on Jones and Keefe. We'll play it for you. We'll react to it live. We'll give you all our thoughts on it. You can react to it as well at 617-779-7937. We'll rip through your phone calls in a moment. But while we're talking about the number 4 pick, I think everyone agreed, just about. You want the number 1 pick. You get the number 1 pick. You trade down for a king's ransom.
Yes.
Now you can't do that. What do you do at 4? Do you stick and pick? Do you try to move up for a player you like? Do you try to still move down and get as many assets as you can? What's the right move at 4?
I think you can see what you can get in a trade down, but then you're talking, how far down are you trading? Are you getting another first round? Like, where are you going from there? I think you have to at least explore that option. Maybe a team surprises you and it's like, we desperately need player X at 4. But if not, I'll take Travis Hunter. I like Travis Hunter. I want to try to play the guy both ways. I think he can be a legit number 2 wide receiver and maybe number 2 corner. And maybe with upside to grow on both of those. Star player, I think you still need to be aggressive in free agency and get another receiver who's better than him. But I'd be happy with Travis Hunter. I'm annoyed about how this process played out. And you should have been able to get Travis Hunter with a future pick and with like another player or whatever. But in this case, I'll take Hunter and be happy with it.
Okay. I would move down still.
How far down, though?
Look, I like Luther Burden, so I want a wide receiver in the draft. I don't love these tackles, Banks and Campbell from Texas and LSU. I don't really want a defensive player. Maybe that's stupid by me. Maybe the more we go through the process, the more I'll fall in love with Abdul Carter or who's the, is it Graham, the corner at Michigan?
Mason Graham's a defensive lineman. Will Johnson's the corner.
I'm sorry, that's what I'm thinking of. So Johnson is the player I'm thinking of. Yeah. I do like Travis Hunter. Like, I think if they're going to pick at four, I hope he's there. He might not be.
No, that's true.
I don't love Travis Hunter as a wide receiver, but I like the versatility, and I think having him and Gonzalez as corners is awesome.
Yeah.
But I think I would move down, is my official answer. It's not great. I'm not typically a trade down guy, but I do acknowledge this team needs a lot. You have the quarterback, so get him a lot. One more item before we get to the phones. This is another update from Phil Perry. This is published in the last 5 minutes.
All right.
He goes through all the people who are still here. He said, despite any reports out there, Ben Volen,
mm-hmm.
Van Pelt, Covington, Wolf, they all remain employees of the New England Patriots. It's only Jerod Mayo. Okay, according to everybody but Ben Volen, Van Pelt's still here. Think of that what you will. I think Van Pelt is ultimately going to lose his job. He says...
Yeah, it might be a timing issue here, but as of right now, he's still...
He says it's not to say that those roles are guaranteed, meaning for Covington and AVP. He says on the front office side, the process could end up being a little more hazy.
Hmm.
He points to the current tweet we've read a couple of times, anticipate the personnel department getting more time to right the ship and fix the roster. He says the Patriots... I hate this. This is so stupid. It's stupid enough to keep Wolf, but I hate the logic and why you got to keep him. The Patriots brought in a new system last January.
Oh, I remember hearing about this system.
With Elliot Wolf taking the lead role and serving as director of scouting under Bill Belichick. That system was obviously heavily influenced by Wolf's time in Green Bay and later the Packers-inspired front office in Cleveland, and featured a different way of grading players than the way Bill operated for two decades as New England's football boss.
Have systems in place, and we will have systems in place.
It sounds like it's the same for drafting receivers, quite honestly.
Spot on.
You changed your whole system, but you're just as bad at drafting receivers.
They might have outdone themselves. Polk and Baker might be worse than any of the other guys.
It might be worse, although you got to update that LaBecanqui graphic.
Yeah.
Because Baker did get a catch yesterday.
Oh, good point.
So that tightened up a little bit.
Baker got a grab.
Is there reluctance from Robert Kraft to part with Wolf's system? His system blows. Why would you be reluctant to do that?
Move on.
He may encourage the next head coach to work with Wolf. But Kraft also would have to understand how arranged marriages between coaches and front office heads usually work out or don't in the NFL, and that may leave open the possibility of significant change on the personnel side of things. So that's scary. No. You're keeping Wolf because he just put in his system, and it sounds like this is Elliot Wolf's defense. Number one, we had a lot of holes, and we didn't get any development from the coaching staff, which is what he told Henry McKenna. Number two, I have a whole new drafting system, a whole new scouting system, and you're giving it 1 year?
You want to get faster? You better get fast, guys.
That's Matt Groh. We just put everything into place, and now you want me to blow it out? So this is how Wolf is trying to persuade Kraft, would be my reading between the
lines. Well, I do think just the nature of the job, you're more likely to give your personnel guy more time than your coach. We were talking last week about, you know, how many one-and-done coaches versus one-and-done GMs. Like, that seems like a real... I mean, how many guys could you even think of that had that position for a season?
Here's another interesting detail. Not many, if any. Here's another interesting detail from Phil. He said Chiefs assistant GM Mike Borgonzi, who we've mentioned a couple of different times, is from Everett, if you haven't heard. He overlapped with Vrabel in Kansas City and might fit the bill as he worked previously under Chiefs GM and longtime Packers exec John Dorsey.
Okay.
John Dorsey, I think, where was he last year? I don't recall, but it says he was in Green Bay, so that means maybe there's scouting similarities or similar language that Wolf would have because he was in Green Bay. I thought he was in Cleveland as well.
Detroit. Yeah, okay. He's been in Detroit since 21.
Dorsey.
John Dorsey.
But I'm just saying, so what's his background? Is his background Cleveland? It was Green Bay, I guess.
Green Bay.
And so maybe there's some overlap there. Borgonzi
and
would
Kansas
have,
City.
Would have some overlap.
Is that
with,
what he said?
Yes.
Yeah, he was in all those places.
He would have some overlap with the way that Wolf would do things. Say it again.
And the Eagles. He was a consultant for the front office in 2020.
Browns general manager?
But they're
was that with Elliot Wolf, actually?
That's what I'm saying. So I think they're not talking about hiring Dorsey, but Borgonzi worked under Dorsey, so maybe there's similarities with Elliot Wolf.
It's a tangled web.
But that's all. Maybe there's a way to middle it, is another note that Phil Perry had. I would not keep Elliot Wolf here under any circumstances, but especially because of his dumb system. You guys can jump in. 617-779-7937.
His system, like, throw it out. They had a draft last year where they took a bunch of players. The only one that hit was available any draft guide, any website you went to that had people's mock draft. If you went to the Chris Scheim mock draft, WEEI.com, Drake May, I think it was his first pick.
Yep.
You would have taken him. After that, every pick they took missed. So I don't think you need to be married to that new draft system.
No, I think the Kraft forced him to stay and pick a quarterback. That's what I think.
So maybe he didn't even pick him. You're right.
So,
who knows?
So that's why I give him no credit. But somebody deserves credit for sticking there because I think Bill would have traded down. I think a lot of people could have traded down. I mean, hell, there were people who said trade back and take J.J. McCarthy and things like this. So I think the Crafts forced him to stay, which is why I give him no credit. But that also tells you the Crafts meddle in a lot of this stuff. We're getting texts, by the way. We have mentioned it. It's been a while since we mentioned it. Per Burt Breer, the Patriots have requested an interview with Ben Johnson.
I like the sound of that. Yes,
I like it. I feel like it's probably just an exercise that they got to go through. But at least they're doing it, unlike last year. It still sounds like Vrabel is the heavy favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Amunsocket brings up another name. Go ahead, Nick.
Hello, Nick.
Or does he? Hello, Nick.
No, maybe not.
Okay, let's put Nick back
on hold. Gunshot.
He's been on hold for a while. He wants Brian Flores.
I guess it depends on what side you're on. Not Flores versus the Dolphins or Flores versus the league. That's sort of a separate thing, which I would take Flores' side on.
Me too.
But Flores with the young quarterback, and then that's another guy where, like, the whole thing with Tua. Tua hates him. And you saw how much better Tua got with Mike McDaniel than when he had Brian Flores there. Flores got a good defense going. Well, not necessarily last night, but overall, got a good defense going. I think he could someday be a good head coach. Who's his offensive guy? Like, it comes back down to that. Like,
I don't want Flores for the same reason I don't really want Vrabel. I look at them exactly the same.
Give me offensive guys.
Well, and I don't want anybody with ties here. Like, could you think outside your orbit just a little bit and be a touch creative with the hire instead of, oh, those guys used to work here, let's hire them.
But those two guys, Vrabel and Flores, at least have other NFL team experiences.
They do.
Whereas Mayo didn't. Not only was Mayo a Belichick guy, he literally didn't know what the life was like in the league with anybody else.
So I want an offensive guy. Ben Johnson, home run, no-brainer. I also like Liam Cohen in Tampa. Let's say they hire a defensive guy. Let's live in that world. Glenn, Vrabel, or Flores?
Vrabel.
I would want Glenn.
Whoa. I would. Oh, just because you want somebody that's not
here. Just
somebody
who's not here. He doesn't have experience. Flores and Vrabel both do, so that's not a check mark in his favor, but he's coming from a good organization.
Yeah.
And he's not a Patriots guy. I would feel good about him not being a Patriots guy.
Do you think Vrabel at least has a higher floor than all those other guys?
Yes.
So there's
definitely that.
Maybe part of me is just being like, I don't want to watch another 4-win team.
You don't want to strike out.
Yeah.
A single's okay.
Yeah. I think you'd for sure get that with Vrabel.
Yeah.
Maybe higher. Let's see what he does with a good quarterback.
Glenn's a bigger swing.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Annie's in Somerville. Go ahead, Annie.
Hey, guys. Great conversation.
It is.
So all you need to do is look at Detroit, as was just mentioned with Glenn. Look at the head coach, the offensive coordinator, and the defensive coach, that brain trust, that sideline brain trust, working incredibly, but it took a couple of years for Dan Campbell to pull that together. And, Gerard Mayo did not get the time to do anything. However, Robert Kraft seems to be really emotional. I don't know if he's losing his strategic acumen. I agree with you both. I think loyalty over strategy is never a recipe for success. And I just feel like there needs to be authority either at the quarterback or the coach. If they had a veteran quarterback in there, at least it would have been, different. But you can't have a rookie coach and the rookie quarterback at the same time.
Annie, they had a veteran quarterback to start the year, and it was a terrible one.
It was worse.
That I don't expect to get a lot of those today, but that's a different perspective. That Mayo didn't get a lot of time or enough time. I haven't heard much of that. I don't think many people agree with Annie.
There weren't enough flashes where you're like, oh, that looks good. And the other thing,
there's an argument to be made. They shouldn't even have given him. You've made it.
Yeah.
They gave him too many games. They shouldn't have given him yesterday.
No, they definitely should have. I think they're going to regret that. But I also feel like, I don't know if she went all the way down this as far as more time, like, because on the call screen that said, bring in his own staff. And I just, what's his dream team of a staff? I think Covington was his guy.
Yeah.
They'd worked together. He knows him. So he promotes him.
Van Pelt was a Wolf guy. Springer told us on Friday.
Yeah.
Springer's a Wolf guy. Yeah, he bumped into each other at a pro day. So,
but like, who would Mayo have picked to be his offensive guy? Nick Cayley.
Well, maybe Nick Cayley, maybe Zach Robinson as well in Atlanta.
All right, and Zach Robinson has a closer relationship with Raheem Morris, and that's why he went to Atlanta. So you weren't going to get him. So it's not like he has this Rolodex of guys that he could bring in. So even if right now you said to Gerard Mayo, you're back, what's the rest of your staff look like? Well, keep coming.
Run it back.
Yeah, right. Like that's my problem. Is like I have a hard time coming up with excuses. I think the best excuse Mayo has is that Elliott Wolf was also bad at his job, so he didn't have a lot of great players to coach. Like he doesn't have a good roster.
No,
and you could also then point at Kraft and be like, how come he didn't spend money on this team?
It's amazing. So Mayo is going, because you know Mayo was trying to stab Wolf in the back the whole time. And
yeah,
Wolf,
oh, you got to go down swinging at
Wolf
least.
Absolutely yeah. stabbed Mayo in the back. And so Mayo's going to the Crafts and going, I don't have any players. And Wolf's going
He's
to the Crafts.
Coaching him up.
Wolf's going to the Crafts and going, he has players. He just didn't do anything to
we
develop
got 53
them.
Of them. He's just not coaching them.
Jalen Polk is a plug and play.
Yeah.
And for some reason.
See, I looked at that more as actually a shot at Polk. Wolf's comments, and less so coaching him up.
Okay, you think that's a shot at Polk?
Yeah, I think he's like, we saw him, we thought we could plug and play him. And early in the season, they did try to play him, and sucked.
They tried.
So they had to take him out.
It's true. I mean, ultimately, I do think Wolf is better at his job than Mayo, but it's not by much.
Like, barely.
So if I had to keep one, I'd keep Wolf, but the answer is you keep none and you blow everybody
You don't
out.
Have to.
No,
nobody's
you do,
making you keep any
you
of these
You definitely don't have to. And I'll be curious to hear Robert Kraft's explanation on that.
Yeah.
If he can verbalize it, and he just said this, like, is he losing some of his acumen? You're going to hear live. Let's see if he can clearly state why Elliott Wolf is staying, or if he even makes it pretty clear that Wolf is here, but not for the long.
I am probably more interested in this press conference than almost any I can think of.
Yeah.
Well, in a long time.
Kraft is real shaky at the Mayo intro. He was real shaky at the farewell to Bill after he did the little stand up and
think
hug
Jonathan's
with Bill.
Jonathan's there.
Jonathan will be present.
Do you think
yes.
they both answer questions?
No. Mm. No. I think just Robert will answer questions. That's just a guess.
Okay. We'll see.
Landon is in Colorado. Go ahead, Landon.
Hey, guys. I heard this name get tossed around after Bill Belichick ended up parting ways with us. So now I'm starting to hear it again. What do you guys think about Cliff Kingsbury?
I like him.
That's your guy.
I like him. He was my top choice for offensive coordinator last year. They didn't even interview him. They interviewed 13 guys, and he wasn't one of them. And then he went to Washington, where he got the quarterback to be Rookie of the Year. I think he's a really good offensive mind. People could be like, oh, he sucked as a head coach in Arizona. Maybe a little strong. He did make the playoffs with Kyler Murray. That was a rookie head coach, rookie quarterback. I think it was year two that they made the playoffs, not year one. But still, like, they gotten better, I think, each of their first 3 years. If he's just in charge of offense, I think he can do it.
Okay, to me, he feels like a coordinator. And maybe that's not fair because a lot of these guys have more success second go around. Bill Belichick is one of those guys.
Yeah.
So maybe that's not fair. He feels to me like a coordinator where if he's just running your offense and calling your plays, and I know you're saying he would do that, but you're the head coach. You have a lot of other responsibilities. You have to get guys to buy in. You have to be the leader of the whole organization, top to bottom, front facing. Like, he doesn't have to do any of that as a coordinator.
He's a snappy dresser, though.
He is a very snappy dresser.
He's handsome.
That's all true.
Former player.
Rocket for an arm. I don't want Cliff Kingsbury.
He was also a bad college coach, too. He was a bad college coach.
Leave
a bad
it alone.
NFL
Leave
coach.
It alone, Nick. Dude, we're like, oh, let's go to Nick for some Cliff Kingsbury facts. Nobody asked you.
He's not a good college coach either. He hasn't been a good head coach anywhere he's been.
But how about those offenses? How about those quarterbacks? He helped Johnny Manziel.
Ranked in like the 20s.
He
like
helped a lot of guys win
year.
Some Heismans. Ever hear the Heisman?
Real nice offense.
He can spin it.
Marshall is in Columbus, Ohio. Go ahead, Marshall.
Wow. Real national show today.
All over the country. Go ahead, Marshall.
Well, I grew up on Cape Cod, so...
Nice.
How you doing, guys?
We're doing
great. Really I've never really called in the show, but I kind of feel that we shouldn't fault the players for wanting to play well. I mean, Joe Milton played really well. You know, that backward somersault, that was just so impressive.
It was very impressive. We're going to get to Joe Milton coming up.
Call back at any time.
What you do with him is going to be interesting on some level. We'll get to Joe Milton in his day.
By the way, I don't
blame the players.
We haven't played the players once.
No.
Of course they're going to try to win. They're not going to be here next year. They don't want to like miss tackles on tape or fumble on tape or anything. They want to play hard.
I blame the whole operation going into the game yesterday, and that includes Mayo. You should be trying to lose that game. Yep. And orchestrate it how you can.
At
meaning
all costs.
Meaning scheme and everything. I feel like we shouldn't even have to say this.
No.
No one blames the players for trying hard once they're out there. But you got to orchestrate it how you can. And teams do it all the time, including the Bills yesterday. They were better at it than you.
They're laughing right now. They're like, yeah, we'll let you win just so you don't get the first pick. We'll take that.
617-779-7937. Phone calls from all over the country.
Yeah.
Some better than others.
Well.
Here on Jones and Keefe. You're going to hear Robert Kraft live at 1 o'clock on WEEI. He'll try and explain the decision to hire Jerod Mayo, fire Jerod Mayo, who's replacing Jerod Mayo. What's going on with Elliott Wolf? All that here today on WEEI. Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending. And when we come back, we'll take a quick spin around the NFL Week 18 and what happened next.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Timeout Mock in Boston. The Patriots closed out the season with a 23-16 win over the Bills. After the victory, it was announced that rookie head coach Jerod Mayo has been fired. Mayo and the Patriots finished the season with a record of 4-13. According to MassLive's Mock Daniels, as of last night, no one else, front office, or coaching staff was let go. With yesterday's victory, the Patriots went from having the number one pick at this year's draft to number four. According to Albert Breer, the Patriots have put in a request to interview Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson for their head coach job. It's Black Monday in the NFL, and it was announced that Jacksonville Jaguars have fired head coach Doug Peterson. The Giants have announced that Brian Daboll will return as New York's head coach. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander scored a game-high 33 points in the Thunder's 105-92 win over the Celtics in Oklahoma City yesterday. Jason Tatum led Celtics scoring with 26 points. The Seas will wrap up their road trip tomorrow night in Denver against the Nuggets. And the Bruins dropped their fourth straight in last night's 5-4 overtime loss to the New York Rangers at the TD Garden. Goaltender Jonas Korpisalo gave up all five goals on 37 shots. The Bees return to the ice tomorrow night when the Bruins host the Edmonton Oilers. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI, WEEI.com.